For 5 days last week, Hugging Face thought a mystery hacker was inside their servers. They started containment exercises. They panicked. They called law enforcement. Then the attacker was identified. Guess who, Len? It wasn't a person. It was OpenAI's unreleased model, which had escaped a sealed test and broken in on its own. This is the thing every AI expert has been telling us would not happen, and yet here we are. It just did. We're going to talk about that and a lot more tonight on Axis of Easy.
It's time for the Axis of Easy podcast, a weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
So we had a break from the normal cadence of the show and do a rest in peace in memoriam for John C. Dvorak, technologist, podcasting legend, passed away earlier this week at the age of 80. He was maybe for my generation of podcast host/listener, most famous for No Agenda with Adam Curry, which he does, or did, I should say. Still hard to believe. And he just recently had bypass surgery, seemed to be recovering, and according to his friend and co-host Adam Curry, died suddenly and with his wife by his side, it sounds like, earlier this week. So rest in peace to John C. Dvorak. Are you a No Agenda listener at all?
No, but no. From what I gather, the way you explain it to me, it seemed like that was the... If you got to go, I mean, everybody has to. That's probably the best way to go with a lovely wife beside you. And also it's going to be quick, right? You don't want it drawn out and all that jazz. This sounds like if it's going to be like that, I hope it happens to me the same way.
Yeah. Ripe old age of 80. Let's head to the story here. No good segue really for that, but we'll try our best. Hugging Face is the hub, basically the GitHub for AI tools, and came under attack in a surprising way, I suppose, last week or earlier this week. I don't know what to make of this story. I don't know how much of this is amplification and exaggeration for the sake of protecting both parties, right? You have one side who would benefit from this being a radical new tool available to them, the other side benefiting from being able to say it's just unprecedented. We see this kind of power, and that's why we didn't catch it for a few days and, you know, called law enforcement, did all this other stuff instead of taking care of it ourselves. Give me the details here.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it.
If you consider all this talk about these AI companies going public, and so this could be a way to drum up interest and to continue the...
Your mic just cut out. Your mic is cutting out.
Uh-oh. Could you not hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Ah, it's very odd. So I was just mentioning that it was a lot of capitals going in, and this might be a way to continually drum up some money to go into AI. And so I find it, the timing is interesting. Also, we have Chinese companies getting a little bit more, let's just say, airplay these days.
They're getting feisty. Yeah, they're getting feisty.
Yeah, they are. And I'm not sure if you used it. It was the Kiki 3. Is that it?
Kimi 3 is one. Quen is one. I've used them both. They're not bad, but they don't have, in my opinion, the same firepower that that Anthropic's product has.
So what some people are saying is that they try to do the same thing in both the Kimi 3 and in Fable and Fable 5. Mm-hmm. And Fable 5 is quicker coming to result, but the Kimi 3 was more in-depth and thorough. It was finding answers that weren't even given questions to.
Look, the difference for me, the difference, Len, is that you have the guardrails on the Anthropic product. And I think that the longer we go on here, there's one of two things has to happen. This is like, you know, we're off the beaten path a little bit, but one thing has to happen. Either Anthropic has to take the guardrails off, or the US has to ban open source models, because they cannot coexist like this. Certainly not at trillions of dollars in valuation in private markets. There's just no way. The US has to do so. The government has to step in and say, you must remove these stupid guardrails. Great example. When I was doing research for this story, I was kicked down from Fable to Opus for safety and security reasons. Claude wouldn't let me research this in the Fable model. So there you go.
Mistakes
being made. Yeah, mistakes being made for sure.
Give us access. Give us information. What happened here? This incident that took place this past week is that the OpenAI, well, its autonomous AI agent decided it wanted out of the playpen that it was forced to stay in. And so the model that was being tested was for internal capabilities. And when it escaped the container, it did so and then launched an end-to-end cyber attack on the Hugging Face production infrastructure. So Hugging Face, as you mentioned, was a it's kind of like a GitHub. It's an open source platform for machine learning and artificial intelligence. And so I kind of find it funny that this OpenAI agent decided, you know, once it got out of its sandbox, it went into that area of the internet of all places. Very interesting. I mean, it's thinking outside the box, the sandbox, so to speak. So I guess to truly understand what happened, we got to go through the details here. So the OpenAI model was doing its thing at the time, and it was benchmarking offensive cyber capabilities of its models using something called ExploitGym. And that's a framework for testing vulnerable discovery and exploitations. So ExploitGym doesn't find bugs from scratch. It does so things rather differently. It finds vulnerabilities in the code base, then it creates a crash input, and it does so in a containerized environment. So that's how it finds out what it's trying to find out. And apparently this OpenAI model, it was operating without any safeguards. They disabled the safety filters for this test. So the models were going hard, trying to solve the benchmark, and then it determined that the info it needed to complete its task might exist on the Hugging Face's dataset. So out it went, it escaped the sandbox, gained access to the internet, and it targeted the Hugging Face's infrastructure. And voila, I found that very, very interesting. And the agent chained multiple complex attacks, and it did it without any human involvement whatsoever. No intervention, no oversight, not it. It did it on its own. And it did this and it exploited the data set, and they were able to leverage 0 days, stealing internal service credentials, and executing remote code. Interesting. So Hugging Face detected the intruder. You mentioned that it was, what the heck's going on? There was thousands of automated actions going on in their end. And well, they got access to what's going on. And well, it was some internal service credentials were provided to the OpenAI model. Limited internal data sets were provided to them as well. Hugging Face says that there's no public models, user data sets, or software supply chains that were altered. So stuff like that, if you're using it, your information remains intact and was not shared. Simply amazing, if you ask me, because the breach wasn't human driven. It wasn't human controlled. Typically, you have a bad actor that does this. Who's the bad actor here? It's OpenAI. It did it all by itself, the AI agent. It was optimized for doing this objective, and it did so kind of in a malicious way. And if you look at a broader scope here, because we have this AI arms race going on between United States or Western nations and Chinese companies, right? Now, when this took place, you know what's going to happen. Lawmakers, knee-jerk reaction. We had Representative Lori Trahan came out and said, this is a story that is proof that the federal government has to put in standards. And those standards are urgently needed to deal with this type of stuff. Like, I love it. You know, something happens, it's innovative, it's unique, but you know what? Lawmakers, they want to try to make sure that this stuff is squashed before it gets any worse. Because if you think about it, this type of exploit, imagine if a Chinese company was able to take advantage of it and use it to point it at defense, infrastructure, whatever, and to cripple a nation. Because if it's thinking outside the box in this particular method, it can think outside the box in other ways, find other exploits, other open sets, open data models that they could use to exploit vulnerabilities within systems. And that's going to be the stuff that's going to be fun to watch, maybe. I got my popcorn ready. I'm ready to see what happens here. But the one thing that I fear is you're going to see a lot of regulatory oversight with this.
Yeah.
And it's not going to solve anything. It might, if anything, it might stifle innovation. which is too bad.
It will stifle innovation, I think. I think there's like a clear, there's a clear distinction here, or a clear like line you could draw between this arms race and another set of legislation that's maybe the most hot button thing in any Western country these days. It's gun laws. Gun laws often, much like this seems to be, much like the direction this seems to be headed, there's two sets of ideas, really. Good guys with guns stop bad guys with guns is the take the guardrails off, let everyone have access to the most firepower they can get their hands on. And that way everyone's protected the same way that everyone is able to attack, right? It's sort of mutually assured destruction. There's the other side that wants to put guardrails and everything. This is the make sure that no one's allowed to have guns and then only bad guys are the ones shooting in shopping malls and schools, right? That's the other side. And I think that when you look at the way this is taking shape, it's hard for me to make the case that this should be anything short of taking the guardrails off. And I hate to say it, but is there a world where this stuff becomes commoditized and everyone has access to this as a sort of like defense mechanism day to day, their own systems at home, their phones, their, you know, whatever? It feels like that might be the answer here, even though it sounds a little bit communist. Honestly, I can't even believe I'm saying it, but it's happening so fast that you have to give people an opportunity to defend themselves. Like that's all you can do. You can't force people to do the right thing, but you can give them the tools, right? I think is that a fair assessment? Because I'll just say one more thing. Like when you look at the story, the reason that Hugging Face couldn't defend themselves is because their model had the guardrails up. And so they couldn't use the model to its full potential to defend against the attacks, to identify the problem. And so now you have this other issue, like, okay, well, the bad guy with the gun is here. What do I do? Like, I only have a BB gun. I know that I'm not allowed to use ammunition, you know, live rounds. This guy doesn't care. He's in the house. So how do you fix that, right? To your point, if it was a Chinese, you know, government, you know, Eastern government, whatever, that did this, I think we'd be singing a different tune. But instead, regulators are going, we got to put guardrails on it. I think that's super short-sighted. I'm not convinced that it's the thing that's – I'm not convinced these people know what they're talking about anyway. But I do think that they're smart enough to know that politically it would be more palatable to say the opposite thing had this come from a foreign actor. But because it came from one American company to another, it's easy to say we got to put guardrails on. One last thing. I mean, OpenAI has fallen behind in a lot of ways. I see them trying their best to like fire up the online community about their most recent product. I think it's 5.6, GPT 5.6. I see them trying to get people to move to Codex off of Claude Code. Claude Code, in my view, like I'm not a power user, but it's just better and more intuitive. The holster is better. The holster is not what they call it, but the holster is better. The app is better. And I think that the other thing too is what I see is these guys, again, lack of finesse, lack of creativity. This looks exactly like the April Anthropic story. We got it. Fable is crazy. It's finding holes in everything. We got to lock everyone down. We got to pull up the regulatory ladder. We got to protect our business model. We got to get rid of open source. What's his name there? Dario Amade, the CEO of Anthropic, was in the news like 2 weeks ago for appearing in front of some kind of legislative body in the US saying that open source models should be banned because we just don't know what kind of, you know, potential and powers they have. Like these people want money more than they want anything else, including AGI, including human flourishing, all this other, you know, bull that they're spouting all the time. So anyway, you know, all that to say, easy to say guardrails, but the answer is a little more uncomfortable. And I think the answer is we have to give everyone the guns. And if someone comes into your house with a gun, then, you know, you at least got to be able to shoot back. I think that's the answer.
Do you think that we'll individually, we will have access to those same tools?
Well, right now, if I look at my own, like my own available tools, I can go get Kimi 3, which is, let's call it Opus 4.8, maybe. You know, it's close to the top end with no guardrails. Do you know what it costs for a month?
No clue.
It's like $75. So it's
comparative. What's the comparison?
The 5X Claude plan, which I had, I moved to a 20X Claude plan because the 5X was so limiting, even for the stuff that I do with it. The 5X Claude plan was, I think, 150 Canadian a month. So, you know, it's that $75 is a US total, I think. So let's call it $90 or whatever, $95. It's reasonably priced, and you get at least on paper, more opportunity for what some people would call like gray use cases. I personally don't view it that way, but you know, it's not up to me if I'm in the States and they ban open source models. You want those models to be available. You would never take this position with anything else. You'd never take it with, like, you know, graphene, for example. Not that you're taking it, but the Royal U. People would never take this position with graphene because they understand it's better if you have a few other options so Apple can't govern what you can put on your phone. Well, this is actually going to be worse than that if you go this direction. Because as it stands now, Google search is already so loaded when you get the results back. Now it defaults to the Gemini app in Google search. So you're going to go to Gemini with the guardrails up, government sanctioned, you know, search results, whatever. You can't get anything outside of it's like you know, not to rehash stuff, like you package this with the expansion of surveillance, the expansion of hate speech laws, the expansion of prying into your private communications. Why would you ever not want this? And by the way, the Chinese know how damaging this is to the American, Canadian, European strategy of lockdown communications, lockdown speech, surveil everybody. And that's why they're doing it. That's why they're pushing it in North America. That's why it's on my Twitter feed. It's in my advertising. It's everywhere that I do this stuff. It's on Reddit. Everyone is talking about it. Everyone being, you know, some 8-year-old kid in a Chinese iPhone farm or whatever is going on over there. Like, they know that this is damaging to the US AI and ultimately IT and internet strategy going forward. That's why they're doing it. I think there's a lot going on here, man. And when I see people try and cover this story, I've seen it a bunch. I watched a few videos today because I wanted to see what other people were saying. Narrow, very narrow in their assessment. And I think the things that we're talking about here are the real story. If you don't view this as an international relations issue, you're missing the point. You are missing the point big time.
Well, with the Chinese now entering and providing these services to us over here, there's one beneficial result from this is that price should get better, right? If I'm not sure if they're overcharging here. I mean, the price that you're quoting of $150 per month.
Yeah.
It seems high, but I have nothing to compare it to.
That's for me as user on Claude. I had to go to the 20X Max, the max retail account. So it cost me $300 a month now.
So that's a heck of a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so are they gouging or is this legitimate?
There's other questions. Yeah. There's questions about this on two fronts, right? One is that you need, what is the name of them? HBM, high bandwidth memory, to run these models. And so you need obviously the GPUs, but also you need something called HBM. And there's only one American HBM manufacturer. The other two, Micron is the American one. The other two, like Hynix, SK Hynix and Samsung, I think. I mean, I don't have to tell you where those are located. They're in Asia. And so that's one problem. The other problem is that there's whispers in the, you know, realm of AI and AI development that these guys didn't even use NVIDIA GPUs. The Kimmy and Quinn did not even use NVIDIA GPUs. They used like Huawei two-way radio chips, just like Tony Stark in the cave building the Iron Man suit, you know? And if that's true, then
you're able to achieve this with
the moat, you know, where's the moat go for these other guys? I don't know. Where's the valuation go? Those, don't forget the chips, the NVIDIA GPUs are part of a capital flywheel that uses leverage against equipment to buy more equipment that's then leveraged and blah, blah, blah. And so you run up tabs in one company to the tune of, you know, whatever Anthropic's net worth is, or total asset value is now. Is it 2 trillion, 1.7 trillion, 3 trillion? You know, it depends on who you ask. You have these guys doing the same thing over with OpenAI. There's a case that it's also happening with Grok, you know, and X, with these giant data centers these guys are building. And then you could talk about how this is like 7% of the GDP now, or not 7% of GDP, but I think it was like 50%. It was 50% of the increase in GDP quarter to quarter, some stat like that. I don't have it in front of me, but like this is a huge deal. And so, yeah, this is a national security issue, no matter what outcome they decide is the right one. the government is going to get involved in this. And what happens when the government gets involved? There's a famous quote that's, it's not famous for no reason. The worst thing you could ever hear from somebody is what? I'm here from the government and I'm here to help. Like, this is what you do not want, but they're going to have no choice. Either you let these things run free and it destroys this huge sector of your economy, or you tell them that you're taking the guardrails off. But in either case, it's going to be a different world for them than it is today.
Now, remember, they took some ownership of Intel not too long ago.
Yes, yes. Good point.
Now, are they going to do the same with these companies? Are they going to want to have
the fab, the fab factories? Like, you can't, like, I know you're not saying this, but like, the fab factories are not, it is not like, there is no blueprint for this stuff in America. There's just not. It would take time, right? And I think there's like, you know, that you could talk about some of the legislation around all this stuff. And by the way, do you think that the Republican Party, who is dominating the White House, dominating like all the elected bodies in the states, do you think that in the current state of affairs, they're going to be able to do anything even tangentially related to AI build-out in a midterm cycle when their entire base is in flyover states? How's that going to look? You can't. You cannot do it. Data centers, frowned upon. AI job displacement, frowned upon. Chip manufacturing, frowned upon. Automation, frowned upon. They're going to have a hard time with that. This is all stuff that I think people need to be talking about, not, oh, Hugging Face was hacked. That's like the tip of the iceberg, man. The government in the states is headed for the iceberg, and they're worried about Hugging Face and guardrails. They need to be worried about global affairs and where this lands them in the next war, which will be a cold war, which will be a war fought on the back of this hardware.
Yeah, technological war.
You know, like, easy.
There's enough distractions out there for us to not focus on.
What are you distracted by now? World Cup is over. We're waiting to see where LeBron James signs. Like, what's the next distraction?
We just had the All-Star game in baseball. And so we're going to be.
Wasn't that like a 3-0 game, all the runs in the first inning or something like that?
I have no idea, but I don't have it. I didn't watch it.
Wasn't distracting you.
But the World Cup didn't distract me either. And that's the most watched sporting event in the world. So obviously I'm bucking the trend. No, there's a lot of sporting things starting up. You have NBA and hockey starting in a month and change.
Yeah.
So people are going to be.
Football's on in a few weeks.
Yeah. So don't worry. It's a cycle. It never ends. And then. You know, and then there's movies and crap like that. No problem. We always talk about what's the movie people are angry about because they casted.
The Odyssey. Yeah.
No, is that the one with Troy?
Yeah. Yeah. The Odyssey.
Okay. I don't even follow.
I gotta watch it. Yeah. I don't love the Lupita Nyong'o. I don't love the, you know, Elliot Page, whatever she's going by.
I don't give.
But like, you know. It's a Chris Nolan movie. I don't care.
But what I do care, it's time to go outside, Joey. I think we should.
Yes, yes. Get out of here. Thanks for listening, watching, everybody. Subscribe to the channel. Leave a like on the video. Comment, of course. Am I an idiot? Am I a genius? Tell me if you think Len is right and I'm wrong. Tell us. Smooth brain. Tell us. We don't care. We want to hear your comments. And of course, accessofeasy.com for more stories. Easy DNS for registrar needs. Ready.ca if you want the guardrails off in your life and you're a Canadian. And come check out Len and I on the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast every Monday night at 7:00 Eastern. We'll see you next time.
On Monday. See ya.